This week's parsha is Parshas Bahaloscha. I wanted to dedicate this learning for Furshlim, for Rivka Chana Basipara, Nava Dina Basterna, and Chaim Baruch Ben Rachel Malka. So the parsha goes through different things, but the idea of the mitzvah that was given to Aaron in terms of the lighting of the menorah. We also have the idea of Pesach Sheni, that the idea of a second chance. But what I wanted to focus on, and we have the famous Vayehi ben Saharon with the nuns, the backwards nuns, which talk about the idea that basically that parsha of 85 letters, Pei Hei letters, is a sefer bifnei atzmo. It's its own book, and that the truth is that we always say that there are five books of Moses. Perhaps there are really seven, and that they're not this 85 letters is in the wrong place, and that if you take and you count 50 parshios, the number nun is 50, gematria is 50, and you take it back 50 parshios back to in time, you will see that it belongs in that place as opposed to here, and that it's separating between this, what's going on, the positive that's going to now turn negative with the misononim. But what I want to look at is the end of the parsha. It talks about the idea of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, which, just so we understand the idea, the power of what Lashon Hara is that you speak negatively about someone. It's true. It's not that she spoke incorrectly, or when you speak something about someone else that's true, but it's negative, and that's the issue, as opposed to Motzi Shemra, where you're saying something that's false. Here, Miriam, who we see at the end, is actually rewarded by the fact that the Jewish people waited for her to recuperate from her punishment. And so they waited for her. Rashi tells us that the Klal Yisrael wait, that it says, V'atisa ger Miriam michutz l'machna shivat yamim. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. V'ha'am l'masa ad he'asef Miriam. And the people did not march on until Miriam was readmitted. And Rashi tells us, bringing down from a Gemara in Sota, Zeh kavod chalak la hamakom b'shvil sha'ach hashenit akva l'moshe kishuhu shlach layor. This is the honor that God gave her because of the fact that she spent an hour waiting and watching her little brother Moshe, who was on the Nile River. It says, Shenema v'titatzeva chatom yirchok, that she waited there. And so now, all these years later, she is given reward. Now, the Gemara in Sota is talking about the context of the Gemara there, is the idea of Mida Keneged Mida, the idea that God either will punish or reward based on what the person did. The reward will be commensurate, or the punishment will be commensurate to what they had done. And so here, the fact that she waited for Moshe, we see now that therefore the Jewish people wait for her, which is... So the idea that it was not until this point in time that she's given the reward. Here she was, this young girl, all those years earlier, and she waited and made sure that her little brother was safe, and then she went into action when Paro's daughter saw this little boy crying on the Nile and understood it was a Jewish boy, and so then she went into action. But it's only all these years later that she's rewarded for it, when she has to be, you know, when she's punished for. So the question is, we have to like stop for a second and say, wait a second, is there more to this story? And the answer is yes. Because if we look at the story, what is bothering Miriam that she is telling her brother Aaron, that she makes this comment about the idea that Moses and Moshe is separated from his wife? What's going on here? So to give a little bit of color here, what happens is after Matan Torah, after the revelation at Sinai, Moshe tells the Jewish people to go back to their tents. So basically, think about what happened here. We have this situation where they were supposed to separate from the idea of separating the couples from each other 3 days before the event of Har Sinai, of the revelation. But post-revelation, Moshe tells the people, Shuvul Alechem, you should go back to your tents, meaning go back to your normal marital relations. But Moshe says that he stayed. But God says, Amod imadi, you stay with me. Now, Miriam is now coming, criticizing or saying, commenting on this. Why is Moshe staying separated from his wife when he said, go back to your tents after this incredible event of the revelation? And so what's her question? So we have this idea that Hashem actually tells us what we want to hear, in a sense that nothing stands in front of our will, so that if we have something that we really want, Hashem will tell us, okay. So she was thinking that really what the Moshe, the fact that he said that it's, Hashem said, stay with me, don't go back to your quote-unquote to your tent, don't go back to your normal marital relations, is because really it was coming from Moshe. And that's what Miriam was picking up on, that really it was Moshe that wanted to stay with God and not to go back to his tent. And so therefore she comes up with this and says, there's an issue here. So what really is going on here, Miriam's whole intent is that she was always devoted to the idea of consistency and things to be 100% clear and honest, and that there should not be any type of hypocrisy. And so here, Moshe, you're telling people to go back. The fact that you're not going back yourself doesn't seem right. What comes out of this, though, is that her saying this or bringing up this issue helps us get to one of the fundamentals of our faith system, which is the nevuah, the prophecy of Moshe. Everything that we have is predicated on that. When we go to the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, one of the major ones, is this idea of the idea of Moshe's prophecy, of his incredible clarity, the idea that he saw his prophecy bisbaklaria meira without any type of personal coloring whatsoever. So he was able to receive from Hashem in the most clear way, which ends up being translated into what we have as a Torah. Now, you might ask, why do we need Moshe to sit in between us and God? And the answer is that we have to go back and realize that Hashem is completely non-physical. The idea of the bridge between that non-physical realm and our physicality and the world we live in, we needed to have someone like a Moshe who could see things in a way that was able to become this conduit, this bridge between those two worlds. So Moshe was that person. Where do we learn about this? At the end of Bahaloscha. Through whom? Through his sister Miriam. So here we have the person who is always devoted to Moshe from the beginning of time, even before he was born, because it says that her father, Amram, separated from Yocheved because of Pharaoh's decrees. She's the one who encouraged her parents to get back together. So you see this idea, this theme, that Miriam is very devoted to this idea of the couples being together and etc., and the idea of the future of the people of having procreation, etc. And then also her devotion to her brother Moshe, the idea that she waited there to make sure he was okay. She was always devoted to him. And then it's her at the end of Aloscha that helps us get a new vision, understanding of who Moshe was. And it's here that we see he's the most humble. The humility aspect, again, is the idea that no personal aspect of Moshe gets in the way of his ability to receive the prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe is unique. Lochein avdi Moshe b'chol beisi nemanhu. My servant Moshe, he is trusted throughout my household. Peh al da'ber bo. I speak to him mouth to mouth, plainly and not in riddles. So the idea that we get to finally have a clarity in terms of nevuas Moshe is through the prophecy of Moshe is through his sister Miriam. And we see that what finally she's given a reward, mida keneged mida, because of the fact that she waited. She was always waiting there. The entire Jewish people waited for her, because it comes out from here. We learn so many things, the power of what we say, of Lashon Hara, even with the most incredible intent, a positive intent that she had, it's still, when there's some negativity, that's the power of Lashon Hara. We have to be so careful about how we speak about others. And number two, the importance of understanding the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he had, it was a different level. It was with clarity, with no personal, any type of personal clouding of what he was seeing. And therefore, it just helps us accentuate the power of Toras Moshe. The Torah that we have is coming through this incredible servant of Hashem, and we should, and then we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, we go back to this understanding of, and just accentuating this importance of how special that prophecy was. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.